One Sunday morning, a mother went in to wake her son and tell him it was time to get ready for church, to which he replied, "I'm not going." "Why not?" she asked. He said, "I'll give you two good reasons. Number one, they don't like me. And number two, I don't like them." His mother replied, "I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. Number one, you're 59 years old. And number two, you're the pastor." In today's second reading, we hear from the first pastor of the Catholic Church, St. Peter, the first pope, the one that Jesus chose to be the first shepherd, the first pope, the first pastor of the Church. And what does our first pastor tell us? Take a look at this reading from the first letter of Peter. St. Peter, the first pope, is speaking as a shepherd and says, "Be always ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope." Okay? We as Christians have to be able to explain our faith to others when they ask us. That's very important. That's our responsibility, is to be able to share the gospel, to answer people's questions about the faith. To be able to give an explanation. Traditionally, this is called apologetics, which doesn't mean I'm sorry that I'm a Christian or I'm sorry I'm a Catholic. It means your explanation, your reasons for what you believe, based upon scripture, based upon history, and based upon common sense. There are three levels of apologetics. The first is natural apologetics, which is explaining the proofs for the existence of God, things that people can come to naturally without divine revelation. They can come to know that there is a God, that God exists. Also, the immortality of the soul. But then there is Christian apologetics, which is, why is Christianity unique and different from all other world religions? Why is Christianity different than Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism? So Christian apologetics explains the divinity of Christ, that Christ is not just a great teacher, but truly is the Son of God. And Christian apologetics goes into a defense of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But then there is Catholic apologetics, which is, why is the Catholic Church unique among all other Christian religions or Christian denominations? And this would go into the belief in the seven sacraments, the divine institution of the Church, that Jesus founded the Church 2,000 years ago upon St. Peter and the Apostles. It goes into the four marks of the Church, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, the seven sacraments, why we have seven sacraments and other denominations have only a few. So that's Catholic apologetics. Well, the first shepherd of the Church, our first pastor, the Pope says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you the reason for your hope. Okay, so we need, as Catholics, more than just an 8th grade knowledge of our faith. We even need more than a 12th grade knowledge of our faith. See, most people in the parish have college degrees. Most people that you meet will have college degrees. Many people have masters. Many have PhDs in different fields. But their knowledge of their faith is still at 8th grade or 12th grade. And that's not going to cut it in this society when people want a reasoned explanation from scripture, from church history, from common sense on what we believe and why we believe it. For example, take some of the basic teachings of the faith that people ask us about. And there's always a half a dozen questions that anybody has about the Catholic faith, right? The basics. And as Vince Lombardi said, we're going to win championships by becoming brilliant on the basics. So that's what you have to do, become brilliant on the basics. Make sure you know the core teachings of the Church. For example, any of us should be able to explain the Eucharist to somebody that asks us. Well, how do you do this? Well, you go to Scripture and you go to the Last Supper and basically say, what did Jesus say at the Last Supper? Jesus did not say, this bread symbolizes my body, or this bread represents my body, or this bread reminds you of my body. Jesus didn't say that. He said, this is my body. This is the cup of my blood. See, very simple. Show what Jesus said in the Bible. He didn't say it was a symbol. He didn't say it was a reminder. He said, this is my body. This is the cup of my blood. Then you take him to John chapter 6, where a half a dozen times Jesus again repeats, I am the bread of life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And he repeated that again and again and again. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, St. Paul talks about what the early Christians believed about the real presence that it truly was, the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist. And then you can even look at some church history, like the fathers of the Church or the doctors of the Church, St. Irenaeus, St. Ignatius of Antioch, St. Cyril of Alexandria. See, these early church fathers can tell us, what did the early Christians believe about the Eucharist? One of the things that has converted Scott Hahn and Steve Wood and about 1,000 other Protestant ministers that have become Catholic in the last 20 years is studying Scripture and studying the fathers and doctors of the Church. Because if you realize that the Church believed all this for 1,500 years before it was questioned or doubted, then that's a very powerful argument for what Catholics believe, that the early Church believed the same things that we do today on these essential teachings of the faith. And then something like our Blessed Mother, how do we explain her to people? Well, see, part of apologetics is clearing up misconceptions, clearing up misunderstandings. A lot of people think Catholics worship Mary. We don't. We respect her. We honor her. We love her. But that's different than worship or adoration, which is only due to God alone. So we explain to people, we don't worship Mary, we don't worship saints, we don't worship statues or images. We love and honor and respect Mary and the saints because they lived exceptional Christian lives. We should follow their example and ask them to pray for us. As the book of Hebrews says, there's a cloud of witnesses in heaven that intercede for us. That's the saints. One of the other basics that people ask us about is, why go to confession to a priest? You should be able to, and I'm sure able to, point them to John chapter 20, verse 20. Jesus gathered the apostles and he breathed on them, gave them the Holy Spirit and said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you hold bound are held bound. Right? And then those apostles who had the power to absolve sins in the name of Christ passed on that to the other bishops and to the priests down throughout the centuries. People will say, well, what about the Pope? Where is that in the Bible? And then you go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, where Jesus says to Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And I give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. See, there is explanations in Scripture and history for what we believe. As Cardinal Newman said, to study history is to become Catholic, because then you see that this has been believed for the last 2,000 years. People always say, well, what about the Bible? I believe in the Bible alone. Well, where did we get the Bible? We got the Bible from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the one that put together the Bible as we have it today, with the Old Testament, with the New Testament. It approved the books, it compiled the books, it translated the books, and it passed them down to us. We could say, well, what came first, the Constitution or the Founding Fathers? Well, the Founding Fathers, obviously. They had to write to compile the Constitution. So what came first, the Church or the New Testament? Of course, it was the Church who compiled the New Testament and put it together as we have it today. But sometimes they'll object and say, well, I read that in the monasteries in the Middle Ages, they used to chain the Bibles in the monasteries and keep them under, like, cut in chains. And of course, the answer, of course, to that is, yes, they did, because those books were so valuable, they didn't want anybody to steal them. It wasn't to keep them away from the people, it was to make it available for the people. And a good analogy is, why do you chain a phone book in a phone booth? Is that to keep it away from the people? Or is it to make it available for the people? When you go to the bank and see that little pen on a chain, is that to keep the pen away from you? No, it's to make sure nobody runs off with that pen. That's why it's on a chain, is to make it available for you. Some people will say, well, why do you Catholics still have Jesus on the cross? Don't you know He's risen from the dead? And we say, Amen, of course, Jesus is risen from the dead. But we have a crucifix to remind us of how much He loved us, His sacrifice. And then we can say, well, why do you have nativity scenes at your church? He's not a baby anymore either, right? Do you ever notice that? But all churches have nativity scenes, even though we know Jesus is not a baby anymore. But we remind ourselves that, yes, He was a baby at one time. And it reminds us of the humility of God to become a baby. So we have things like nativity scenes, and we have crucifixes to remind us of past events, even though we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. So we as Catholics have to be able to explain and defend our faith to others. And what I'd recommend is that everybody should take RCIA. Everybody should do that. September to April. It's a great way to deepen your faith and learn your faith and read the book, The Catholicism for Dummies, which is a wonderful book. Read the Catechism of the Church and your Bible. And then there's all sorts of opportunities for you to deepen your faith, to get away from that 8th grade or 12th grade knowledge of your faith and have an adult. We should all have an advanced knowledge of our faith. And we try to provide that here at the parish by having guest speakers come in. So you can go to those guest speakers. You can stop by the parish library, which is a wealth of knowledge. In fact, very few people even know we have a library, but it's right in the gift shop. And those 3,000 theological books are available for you to borrow, to take out. Hundreds of CDs, hundreds of books on tape, hundreds of wonderful Catholic and Christian videos. And all that resource is available for you. You just have to be aware that it's there and make use of it. On the way out, at all the exits, we have free CDs that you can take and learn more about your faith. At Christmas and Easter, we give out free CDs or booklets for you to read to deepen your faith. On the way out, too, is the Knights of Columbus booklets. Those booklets are excellent. They deal with just about every topic you could imagine. So every week as you leave, take one of them. Or when you're waiting for your kids for CCD, take one of those Knights of Columbus booklets and deepen your faith and study your faith. We also have 3 or 4 Bible studies in the parish, the Book of the Month Club, the Legion of Mary, and so many other ways that you can continue to deepen your faith. So that way you'll be able to explain the faith as our first pastor, St. Peter, told us. Be always ready to give a reason for anybody who asks you. But then he says, do it with gentleness and reverence. See, that's important, that we always share the faith with charity. That we try not to argue. We never talk bad about another religion. As Bishop Sheen said, we only talk about the beauty of the Catholic faith. We never criticize or talk down any other religion, but we always show the beauty of what the Church teaches and why it teaches it. So let's do our homework. Let's continue to study our faith, to be real apostles for the Lord, real Catholic apologists and evangelists, to be able to spread the faith as our first Pope wants us, with reverence and charity.